I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What did God come down to do? Because he came down into the darkness. What did he come? We know he did a lot of things, and we know a lot of things he did. But what did he come down to do primarily? Why would our, and I don't just mean why did he come down, I mean why did he do it the way he did it? Why would our omnipotent, all-powerful creator take the plunge, literally, into a tiny, powerless pool of amniotic fluid? Realize how strange that is. You know, Christmas is usually all about the birth of Christ, right? Yeah, we're going to back that up a bit. We're going back further to the beginning, actually, to the beginning of Jesus' earthly journey. When the bread of life was just about to become a bun in the oven. Because you got to remember, he was in the form of God. I don't think, you know, we can't grasp it, but I don't think we try sometimes. He was in the form of God, but made himself nothing. Which must have taken some doing, right? God made himself, taking the form of a servant to himself, a servant's son. And then, after taking the role of a servant, well, what's the next one? Being born in the likeness of men, of mankind, but he was a male, so born in the likeness of men. And then, being found later in life in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to himself, to death on a cross. Because God became Father and Son, which required Almighty God to empty himself, we're told, and somehow separate himself so that he could humble himself and serve himself like a father and son. He gives us an example. It's kind of like when you dream, right? When you dream, you are both simultaneously the resting creator as well as the very image of yourself in your creation. Separated yet one. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that God's Son is the very image of his substance, his realness. So what was the all-knowing thinking when he made himself nothing? What was going through his mind? I just want to know, what was going through his mind right before he did it? And guess what? The guy who wrote Hebrews, he found it. He found what God was thinking right before he took the plunge. He found it in Psalm 40. Though I'll tell you this, we won't find it on Christmas cards or in Christmas pageants or programs or plays. And you know why? It's dark. It's dark. It's about sacrifice and death, which is about as enticing at Christmas as, you know, coal in your stocking. Not very Christmassy, or rather, not very Clausmassy, because frankly, well, the scriptures don't come any more Christmassy, but we'll build to it, because it's dark. For when the time had fully come, the time had fully come for the Old Testament law to be fulfilled, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, the law of the Old Testament, to redeem those under law. Because the Old Testament law required them to sacrifice innocent animals for sin to make visible the invisible cost of wickedness as an illustration and a foreshadow, not a solution. So when it had served its purpose, well, then God himself made himself into a sinless sacrifice to satisfy the justice that reality itself demands, teeing up the most significant Christmas scripture that we never hear at Christmas. It's in Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image. You know, the very image. That was God's son. Whoops, I just unplugged myself. Second, I pulled it too far, call it. Hold that thought. Come on. Come back. Oh, I hate technology. Not supposed to hate kids. Don't hate. Okay, well. Okay, I'm just going to have to use this now. I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, you can never really tell when it's the Lord or when it's the enemy because they act so much alike. You know? One tries to foul you up and one tries to train you. And we have a hard time telling the difference. I do anyway. Okay, let's back up just a bit. For the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image, because that's God's son, the very image. We're told that. We just read it. Can never, with these same sacrifices, make those who approach perfect. For it is not possible, says the Bible, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. That wasn't what it was for. Therefore, when he came into the world, when was that? It was months before the manger, right? That's when he was born. No, this is when he emptied himself and separated himself, becoming a servant to himself. When he first came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. How strange it must have been the first time God spoke to himself as a separate thing. In the volume of the book is written of me to do your will, O God. And by that will, says the writer, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And I just have to say on a side note, I just love that the Lord refers to the Bible as the book. It's written, it just sounds like something the author would talk about it, you know? Hey, it's written to me in the book. Haven't you read the book? And I just think how excited that writer of Hebrews must have been when he found that scripture tucked away, hiding in Psalm 40, and realized what it was. Oh my goodness. This is what God said when he separated himself and came down and became a servant before he was born. Because it shows how everything was building to Jesus saying those words. You know, paraphrased, this will be the body. This will be the body that will carry me to the cross for an end-all sacrifice for sin. And then I don't know what went through his mind, what he said, but it had to be something akin to, let's do this. And then he went and became one of us. And he made himself just like us. In fact, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren to make propitiation. Everybody say that word. Propitiation. It is the perfect word, but we just don't ever use it. It means a suitable an acceptable sacrifice for the sins, for all the sins of the people, of all the people, for all time. Because I'll tell you this, perfect justice not only demands it, perfect justice knows a good deal when it sees it. Example, how many crushed Rolex watches broken beyond repair would you trade for one in mint condition? All of them. Which is why a perfect, sinless Son of Man had more, we'll call it trade-in value, than every broken human together. Ever. He had the goods. He could trade himself for all of us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, writes the writer of Hebrews. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are. He didn't cheat. Yet without sin, he didn't fail. Like we so often do. Which is why he had to be made like us in all things. You see, originally, I think this is kind of neat. Originally, God made man in his own likeness, right? We're not even sure what that was. It wasn't this. Because then we sinned. And we fell. So our Creator made himself in ours. In our likeness. You know, since the children have flesh and blood, I wonder if we had it back then. You know, I want to insert, since the children have flesh and blood now, I don't know what we had when we were made in his image. I just know we lost it. But since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, just as we had shared in his divinity, so that by his human death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. You see, the crucifixion isn't just part of the Christmas story. It's the reason for it. The reason for the season is his birth. But the reason for his birth is his death. He was quite clear about it. I could only pick a couple. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And, you know, not to take, but to give his life. That's why he came. That's why God came down. "I lay down my life only to take it up again." I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Because the story doesn't end with the sacrifice. Jesus was sent to conquer death, which he did. But that is the Easter story. So we're not going to talk about it. Jesus came to the manger to get to the cross. Can I get an amen? Amen. I like that. He came to the manger to get to the cross to surrender his sinless human self to save all sinners of all sin for all time. And this we do find, if you look close, on the Christmas cards and in the pageants and the programs and the plays, because Joseph was commanded to give him the name Jesus. Yeshua means salvation in Hebrew. Give him the name salvation because he will save his people from their sins. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Nativity scenes should be lit in the light of a cross. Because that's why he came down. But you know, is it just me? Or does that standard issue nativity star look kind of like a cross? And sometimes they put that extra X in the middle, right? Like the end of a manger, stuck on it. So now we know what was on God's mind the moment just before he dove in. You. Every one of you. But if you know much about him, you probably could have guessed that. So what do you say? Let's give ourselves away in his honor and live in a way that says we're part of his body. We're the body of Christ. So what do you say? Let's do this. And let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you for always having us on the forefront of your mind. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to give ourselves away in a way that honors you above all. Lord Jesus, we can't praise you and thank you enough for coming down to lay down your life for us. We love you. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.